Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
That'll be a fun time this Friday. If you don't win the tickets, or if you didn't win the tickets last week and you want to purchase them, you can go to joeconklin.com. So we're looking forward to that. And also, just about 1 month away from TMF Radiothon, folks.
Speaking of Joe Conklin, he will be on the show on Thursday. Have Harry Mays today, Tony Bruno Wednesday, Joe Conklin Thursday, and Sean Farish on Friday. So, jam-packed week here.
Can't beat that. All right, so looking forward to all of that. Also, I want to get to this story with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Make America Healthy Again. And we're talking about the kids in schools with the SNAP program. We'll get to that story coming up shortly, as well as the media 10 years later on a story that really, if... you know, this happened now, it would fall under the woke category, the identity politics category, the, treating everybody the same category. But it happened about a decade ago, and now there's an admission, and the media was complicit in it. We're going to get to that story coming up in just a little bit. But let's get caught up in the world of news. Around number two at 7:02, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company. News Live, the 7 a.m. edition, sponsored by Meineke. In the news today, and there's a lot of it, a cult appears to be at the core of a murder mystery of a beloved couple in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and as well maybe related to the murder of a Border Patrol agent and other murders. So there is going to be a hearing today in Pennsylvania, 11 a.m. We're following this very closely after arrests in connection to the murder of Richard and Rita Zajko. A beloved couple, as I say, from Delco. They were both shot in the head New Year's Eve inside their Chester Heights home. So Pennsylvania State Police, and I've been following this story. At first, it seemed strange that this murder, New Year's Eve, and they didn't have any suspects. They did not think it was random. They were rather tight-lipped. Then Pennsylvania State Police, they had announced that the gun used to murder that agent, Border Patrol agent David Mayland, was purchased by a person of interest in the murders of Mr. and Mrs. Zajko from Delco. So their daughter, the news now is that their daughter, their adult daughter, was arrested in Maryland over the weekend. That's according to Pennsylvania State Police. The charges thus far are trespassing and weapons charges. Oftentimes you'll see individuals charged with something that allows them to hold them over. And then they have the bail hearing, and then we learn they present the other evidence.
Gives them time to find the true smoking gun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they so, but not. Here's what's interesting, Nick, and here's where this cult connection, this alleged cult connection, comes in.
Probably Penn State alum.
So it's not just 33-year-old Michelle Zajko, who's the daughter of the slain couple, but also a 34-year-old Jack Lasota. He's from Berkeley, California. Then you have Danielle Blank, who's 26, from Sacramento, California. They were all arrested in Frostburg, Maryland. So what do all of these different individuals have in common? They're all a member of this cult known as the Zizians.
The Zizians.
The Zizians.
Nice. Were they inspired by Charles Manson?
The Tarzizians? What do the Zizians believe?
Shooting you at point blank range with a shotgun.
They all do a Tarzan yell, yeah. And they go do crazy stuff.
Well, I hope King Shooters never lets these people in.
No.
No, so these these individuals, the cult, as far as the cult goes, I'll get into that in a moment. So they have been tied, the Zizians, yeah. not Tarzan. The Zizians, they've been tied to the murder of this U.S. Border Patrol agent, David Mayland. That was near the Canadian border in January, as well as five other homicides across Vermont, Pennsylvania, and California. And so in the officer Mayland, he was 44 years young, killed January 20th. This was a shootout following a traffic stop in Coventry, Vermont, which is a really small town right near the Canadian border. And so in all of these, they started law enforcement working together across the country, started to see that there was a connection, and that was this Zizian cult. So who are the Zizians? They're a group of young, highly intelligent computer scientists, most of them in their 20s, early 30s. They met online and shared anarchist beliefs and then became increasingly violent.
And they obviously believe in open borders.
So that's the Tarzan Jeez. Thing cracks me up. But no, they finally have a connection because of the Delco couple, because they have the person accused of purchasing the firearm. That's the same person that is accused in the couple's murder in Delco. And then they have the connection to that officer in Vermont. Mm. So they finally have something to connect all of these murders. So it's a bizarre story with this cult. So we'll continue to follow that. Again, 11 o'clock court hearing, and that's here in Pennsylvania. All right, so we were talking about follow-ups. I want to get to a follow-up from our Eagles Super Bowl parade.
Yeah.
What an incredible day. And I will say this, as far as that many people, an estimated, you know, more than a million people estimated, especially if you see all of the drone imagery from across the city. It was a beautiful, bright day, albeit cold. But the one violent incident that happened that people have been talking about, we have an arrest. So we have two women who were shot right near the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. And now authorities say they've taken into custody and arrested and charged 28-year-old Brandon Ramos of Philadelphia, accused of firing those shots. It was prior to 3 p.m. It was like 2:40-ish p.m.
Right by where you guys were.
Right by where, yeah.
Yeah, because I got a text from our market manager, David Yadgroff, and he goes, I'm hearing reports of shots fired in the area where all of our talent is. Can you please check in to make sure everything's okay? So, of course, I called Dawn, and her phone was off. So, yeah.
No, we had no service, Greg.
Yeah,
we couldn't even tweet it, like nothing. It was crazy.
Wow.
But a 27-year-old woman suffered a gunshot wound to her leg. A 20-year-old woman struck in the thigh. Both women are recovering from their injuries at Penn Presbyterian Medical Center, treated for their injuries, and they're going to survive and recover. I mean, obviously being shot in your leg, thigh, that could be life-threatening, but they're okay as of this morning. But this guy, Brandon Ramos, yeah, facing very serious charges, obviously. How did it all start? Well, because everybody was in line for the porta pot. Remember I told you I had one cup of coffee all day?
Mm-hmm.
Because I said, I'm not using any bathrooms.
Look at you. You're anti-public porta potty. Good for you.
No. But they have long lines for the porta potties. Everybody's standing in line. One woman and her boyfriend cut in line.
Yeah.
Somebody punches the boyfriend. It's a brawl. Just take that first. And then Ramos accused of opening fire.
Yeah.
That's when the two women were shot.
Think about what a low life you must be that you're in such a hurry to jump in front of somebody to use a porta potty. That's got probably Miller Lite cans, urine, and feces just littered everywhere.
Just
and you
smell.
Jump in front. We see, this is why Philadelphia can't have nice things. This is why we don't deserve Super Bowls.
That and we hit Howie Roseman in the head with a...
Yeah, when's that guy going to get arrested? That's assault.
Did he have a good line or what? That he was, I bleed for the city.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he had a gash.
Ooh.
Play Cut 8. I just want to play this video of Howie
Roseman. Is this the footage of the beer can?
Yeah, getting hit in the face.
Guys,
the head.
The forehead.
Guys brought us two Super Bowls in 8 years, and we're throwing cans at him.
So
there comes.
Boom! Look at that.
Oh, down goes Howie. Howie down.
In their defense, fans were trying to throw beers to the players. Like, for they felt awful.
Giant beer cans, like heavy beer cans.
Yeah.
Let's throw them at the players as they're moving. What a great idea.
Yeah, you ever get hit with an unopened can? You know what that feels like?
Yeah.
In the cold like that? But
not
boom.
Good.
I mean, he had the bloody right across the gash, right across his forehead.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to get home, by the way, Dawn, when you signed off?
Oh, well, by the time, so we got off at around 3-ish, whenever they stopped speaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know you'll play the political speeches, which went on and on.
Yeah, Sherelle Parker.
On.
Yeah, Sherelle got it wrong again.
Yes.
And the booze, it was like, oh, no. Booze, not beer, other, like, boo.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 97
Yeah,
bucks.
You might as well play one of your 2000 years.
So I was home by 5.
Wow.
Took you 2 hours?
Okay. Well, no, by the time.
And you're not that far from.
No,
you're not that far from the
RVC. The reason I ask is because when I got out of here at 11, when I signed off with you and Dom and Rich, it took me a half hour just to get from the parking garage to the Vine.
Yeah, it was insane. It was insane.
Two blocks. Half hour.
Getting out of the city on Friday was just insane. Let's start with cut four here, Philly. This is Sherelle Parker, who was sitting there speaking, and the entire crowd was like, wrap it up. They started chanting, wrap it up, because she went on too long.
Yeah, I know.
Stop talking. It's not about you, sweetheart.
It's like when I go long with a big take, or if Dawn goes long with the news, and Greg starts to get antsy over there, and he gives us the signal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it just gives us like the wrap it up.
All right,
and then
let's
we
go.
Do.
Get out.
Roll it.
Philadelphia Eagles, the city of Philadelphia, and all of our fans, the best sports fans in the world, right here.
And they were going, wrap it up.
Yeah, feeling so you good can hear today. It. When the haters come, you tell them, we don't care what you have to say today. We're feeling great.
Shapiro
don't
behind
try
her.
To throw shade on my Eagle shine. Everybody put your ones in the air for me right now.
And they were putting up their middle fingers at this point.
I watched you all today. You reminded me that we were one Philly, a united city. Let me hear you all repeat after me. One Philly, a united city.
Hard to believe a Republican's got no shot, huh?
And then she had another word salad where she got the words wrong.
Yeah, do we want to say that
three?
For
cut? Okay, no.
Let's play it.
Cut three. Right.
Reminded us all through their excellence that nothing is possible when we work together as a team.
Agreed.
Josh Shapiro's in the back,
like, yep.
Nodding. Yep.
Nothing is possible if we work together as
one more
a team.
Time. One more time, Philip.
Nothing is possible.
Reminded us all through their excellence that nothing is possible when we work together as a team.
E-L-E-S-E-S-E-G-O!
This is what you elected, Philadelphia.
Yep.
Aw, the thing is, her speech, she would have been the insiders told me they had 30 seconds. They were told 30 seconds, and that was doing them a favor. Shapiro was pretty short, could have been shorter. If she had just gotten up and her out cue would have been thank you, because she said, growing up an Eagles fan, my grandmother told me to, you know, two words, thank you, and that's all she had said, it really would have been perfect. So it's a shame.
Outsiders told me she's stupid.
She's not stupid.
Can't spell. She can't get the phrases right.
Gosh.
Yeah. My God.
It just makes us look so bad.
But that shooting that I had mentioned with the arrest, the only major incident that's being reported by police during Friday's parade, with more than a million people estimated there. I'm just saying.
Kudos to the city workers who cleaned up the streets.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. By Saturday,
like, everything looked pristine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
They did a great job.
And that's okay, that's the mayor, though, too. That's she's all about. Yes, she is. She divided those apartments.
All right,
she
okay.
did good by the.
Look,
she did well
you.
By the sanitation
look at you.
People.
Sean, if
trying
our mayor,
the other side.
If our mayor was a male, would you defend him the way you defend Sherelle? I sense gender bias here. That's just me.
I just feel bad for her. You know, come on. I mean, she's. You know, it's like that movie, This Is As Good As It Gets, compared to the last regime that we had that was, you know, the Prosecco drinking going to the suburbs.
I don't know, guys.
Boy, the bar's very low, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, she has a lot of passion.
Kenny
on a personal level, I do love her.
Kenny was a dope, but she's hot on his heels. You know what I mean?
Well, speaking of hot on their heels, this next story, there's so much news today, but I got to get to this really quick. This is a Michigan man is now under arrest for allegedly driving more than 700 miles here to Pennsylvania. This is that Bucks County fire that we had talked about a while ago. So this guy is accused of setting fire to the home of a man who was communicating online with an online communication, nothing in person at all, but communicating with this guy's ex-girlfriend online. And so for that, this jealous ex, according to police, drives 700 miles from Michigan to Bucks County. This is according to Ben Salem Police. And this guy, 21-year-old Harrison Jones of Rockford, Michigan, he set fire to the residence where six people were inside at the time, including a family, including the children. And the family, thank God, escaped with their two dogs, but not with their two dogs. So the family had their biggest thing, they said, you know, we escaped with our lives. They lost everything, but their two dogs, Trey and Jet, died in the fire.
Oh, my God.
It's a horrible fire.
It's a lifetime
in Bucks
movie.
County.
Wow. 700 miles to set a raging inferno.
Like, crazy ex-boyfriend is the allegedly is the wow. allegation here, but it was a this guy, they have him on surveillance footage. His black sedan pulls up around 5 o'clock in the morning. Suspect approaches the back of the home, then runs away. Then there's an explosion and the fire ignites.
Wow.
And firefighters, you know, had to put this thing out. But this whole story, allegedly, because, you know, somebody is, there's an ex-girlfriend involved.
But the stories that originate from Bucks County. You remember the old bit with Florida Man? We have to do like a Bucks County thing. A lot of stuff in Bucks County these days.
Oh, my God. Wow. And speaking of fire, we do have just a heads up. If you're in Montgomery County, especially the Abington Township area, heads up.
So Newman Price actually tweeted us pictures of it. Phil, can you put up the picture?
The Bucks County?
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Thank you, Newman Price, for that.
Yeah.
Look at that fire.
Photojournalist for the show.
I think he has some video, too, if you want to roll that. There you go.
Everybody wants to be a part of the show.
I love it.
Harry joined the cut sheet. Yeah. Newman's adding to the news.
Yeah. We are the most inclusive show on the radio dial. Look at that.
Road Warrior's giving out bikes.
Yeah. Well, he's not giving out bikes. I mean, I'm
repairing them. Puts the name on it.
I'm paying him.
Look at this.
So the Michigan man now faces charges including 6 counts of attempted homicide, arson, all these related offenses, and awaiting extradition to Pennsylvania.
So getting back to this Abington thing, so all the schools are on... In Abington and in Jenkintown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in...
Shelter in place.
Shelter in place because the hazmat crews are there. This is SPS Technologies, the complex.
Yep.
On just a raging fire since last night, Abington Township. So it affects basically anybody within that 1 mile radius of the complex. Any home, any business, they're doing shelter in place or just get out if you can go someplace else.
Crazy.
Because of all the potential toxins in the air.
Mm.
So, Abington School District, Jenkintown School District, all the schools, everything shut down. And then SEPTA saying Doylestown, Warminster, regional rail lines, as well as it's impacting Lansdale.
Okay.
So we've got that all going on. So a lot happening today. There's a lot of other news. Those were the stories, many of them I touched on, didn't even get to at 6 a.m. Sponsored by Meineke this morning. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squeal, maybe a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians are going to diagnose the problem. Find that location near you. Meineke.com. 30 degrees for your high today. Still 30 mile an hour wind gusts. And this, as many downed trees, power outages because of yesterday's high winds still impacting our region. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Mike is in Flemington, New Jersey. Mike, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, you great Americans. I just wanted to make the point that anyone who's outraged over the government employees, they never said a word in January 2021 when all of these pipeline workers were going to work one day and by the sign of a pen, they all lost their job. Mm-hmm. You know, President Trump gave these government employees a golden parachute. Biden gave them a golden shower. And there's no outrage. They were told to learn to code. And that's all they were told to do. And there was no outrage back then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, 8 months of benefits, 8 months of pay. And look, you know, when you get let go of a job and you try to find something that you really like, you love, something that will pay close to what you were making, think about how long that process is, right? Till you submit an application, first interview, then they get back to you, second interview. I mean, it's probably 2.5 months in most cases until you actually potentially get that job. The federal government, they're getting 4 times that duration and they're still not happy, Mike.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, CNN in 60 Minutes never interviewed these people. They just went off and had to find something, and they had to relocate to find jobs.
Yes, you're right. Mike, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Cut sheet's about 25 minutes away, but before then, Make America Healthy Again has zeroed in on its next target, and it's the kids and it's food at school. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What is up next on the Trump chopping block? Because as we know, you've got Doge, you've got Tom Homan in ICE, and of course, Bobby Kennedy. Now, what I think is fascinating about this story is here's a guy in RFK Jr. that, let's face it, he has been censored in the past. He's been deplatformed. He's been rejected by the Kennedy family Democrat dynasty. He was not allowed to primary Joe Biden. But you could actually argue through all of the resistance that he has faced in his professional and political life, he has never stepped into anything like he is about to step in now as the head of Health and Human Services. When we talk about big food and big pharma, we know the power, we know the lobbyist groups, we know the money, the advertising, and all of the people that will put up a stink for anything that Bobby tries to accomplish. So he's got his work cut out for him. But Outkick wrote about how the Kennedy-led Make America Healthy Again HHS department is now going to zero in on the SNAP program, which goes across public schools throughout this country. SNAP being short for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which provides food assistance for low-income Americans. And they write about how they want to eliminate the junk food, and I love this because this must be written by somebody from the South, junk food and pop, a.k.a. soda. Never once when I lived in Nashville did I call it pop. But I would always run into a lot of these people that call it pop.
It's soda pop.
It's soda. Ridiculous. I mean, Dawn, when you were in the South, you were in, what, Raleigh and Tampa?
Charlotte.
And Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Did you call it pop or did you call it soda? I always called it soda.
Yes, soda. But I did hear, especially in the South, soda pop.
Okay. I've heard that as well.
You know?
Yes. I'm like, yeah, I'll take a, what kind of soda do you have? They're like, what did you just say? I said, soda. They're like, no, down here we call it pop. Yeah. I said, oh, is that right? Okay. Well, I'll take a soda. And they just looked at me. So he wants to prohibit the purchase of junk food and pop and other unhealthy food choices with SNAP cards. And I'm one of these people that I don't want the government to ban things. I don't want the government to be involved in everyday activities and aspects of my life. But there are a few things where I say, okay, you know what? For the better good and for a great cause and for the future, I think this makes sense. Now, I do not have to have, you know, my kids with the SNAP card or the SNAP program. I'm fortunate in that regard. But if I was dependent upon the government to feed my child at school, and they decided that, you know what, moving forward, no more soda, no more party mix from the machine, no more Bobo Frozen Elio's pizza, and anything else that's bad for your health, and instead, we are going to replace these products with healthier items. Now, I get it. Milk is offered, orange juice possibly offered. You know, sometimes maybe there's celery sticks and carrot sticks that come with maybe the hoagie or whatever your kid gets at school. But if you're a parent and you are looking out for the best interest of your child, maybe you're not a health nut. Maybe you don't go up and down the aisles looking at items and figuring out what fake item or food coloring. Maybe you're not one of those people. But why would anybody, even the most libertarian of people out there, be opposed to the government saying, look, we're going to take out A and replace it with B for the benefit of your child? You might not like the government being involved in any activities, but this one, I don't know, maybe you take your foot off the gas, you pump the brakes, and you punt. Is anybody opposed to this? Because I would not want my kids to have bad products if it doesn't change my bottom line.
Agreed, 100%.
Right?
They're not saying they're going to ban them, right? They're just saying that they're not going to be offered in the SNAP program.
Correct.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to use taxpayer-funded money for garbage.
100%. 100%. And I think schools, too, should take this lead and have a more healthy option. Again, I'm not saying that these products should be banned. If people, mm-hmm. you know, if free adults want to purchase these things and eat them, then they should. But yeah, if these are being offered for some government program, absolutely, it should be the more healthier option.
Can you buy cigarettes with SNAP money? I don't know the answer.
I mean, I don't know how you could. They're not offered on school grounds.
But
I don't know. Is the SNAP card?
It's good in the grocery store. I've seen people use it.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I did not know that. I thought it was only based on when you're on school grounds for like school lunches or breakfast or after school programs.
No, they can. But
well,
no.
It's what's interesting about this. Schaefer brings up a great point. Michelle Obama tried this, and there was that's why I think this article is from Outkick. That's why I think they wrote this, because this was tried before, and conservatives
failed.
And no, conservatives were like, "That this is socialism." You know what I mean?
Okay. I so. Now, that would have been, do you know when that was? I mean, 08 to 16,
yeah,
whenever, 8 years?
Whenever they were in office, whenever
so,
that was.
So, do not, so this is a warning to retailers. Do not accept SNAP benefits for any non-food items, hot foods, or alcoholic beverages.
Well, sure.
So, do not accept SNAP benefits for items that are not allowed, including hot food, beer, wine, and other alcoholic drinks.
Well, I'd like to think that if a kid's showing up at a liquor store with a SNAP card, you'd like to presume that the customer service associate is going to card that individual, which would then prohibit the purchase of said alcohol on taxpayer-funded dollars for a school program. Now, what? So what? I genuinely don't. Is it 18 to smoke in Pennsylvania?
I don't even. I thought it was 21. I don't even know.
Is it 21, 18? Is it 16?
It's a grand. I think it's 18.
I feel like I should know that
probably
answer.
Probably 18.
But I don't
18.
Know.
It's probably 18.
So I would also think that, okay, you're 18. That's a senior in high school. If you're a senior in high school on lunch break, you have a SNAP card, you're
yeah,
rolling
not,
into a Wawa.
It's not about. You're mixing. It's not about kids. Like, the parents get these and then they give them to their kids.
The parents have the SNAP card. They use it at Giant or Acme or whatever.
Okay.
They can use it, but they can't use it even for dog food or cat food, booze, cigarettes. You know, because the store then, I guess, won't be reimbursed. I think that's part of it.
And nor should they use it for your dog. This is meant for the child of a low-income American family. This is not meant for Buddy. This is not meant for buying alcohol. This is, to me, a simple. I don't understand why a conservative in the Obama days would be opposed to this. As far as, unless you're just, I don't know, maybe not everybody's about making America healthy again. I get it. Let's not just assume that every conservative is in great shape. I've seen plenty of fat slob Trump Republicans that probably couldn't give a damn about Red Dye 5 and anything else, okay? But I look at it from the standpoint of, if we're on board with Bobby Kennedy in this capacity of fighting against food and pharma, who could be opposed to this? If you're going to provide tax dollars, if my taxpayers or my tax dollars are going to go to somebody who's, quote, impoverished or below the threshold, I would at least like you to use my tax dollars on good things that will provide you natural energy, the ability to stay focused in school, not zone out, and, oh, by the way, not burn a pack of heaters, right?
Yeah, what I the number one thing that you're not allowed to accept SNAP benefits for the grocery store, let's say, is hot food.
Why not hot food?
Because it's, I think they want you to buy groceries.
So I can't go into like a grocery store where they make pre-made warm meals and grab a,
I guess not.
You know,
like the rotisserie chicken.
A rotisserie chicken?
I don't think so.
So I got to go to aisle 5 and buy something that's completely processed?
That is weird.
That's weird, but I will say,
because theoretically it's the freshest, right?
I mean,
you know, if you're going in and buying a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. Or but you're this, buying some, you know, steam fried rice with some vegetables in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably how they ring it up to their just a little bit to their discretion.
Yeah.
But doesn't hot food, wouldn't that be all fast food? Most fast food.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you can nitpick. I mean, I don't think a rotisserie chicken's necessarily going to kill you, right? It's better than fried chicken.
So everybody's correcting us. The PA age to buy cigarettes is 21.
Oh, is it 21?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I don't like that. It should be 18.
Well, that goes into the discussion of when we consider adults, because 16 to drive or 17 to drive, 18 to join the military, 21
why don't
to
just
drink.
Make it 39.
I'm just like voting. I am on board with driving at 16. Smoking at 18, tattoo at 18, joining the armed forces at 18, and I'm on board with 21 for alcohol. Should not be under 21 for alcohol.
I just think that if you can join the armed forces, that's so. I think they should make that age. Greg knows this. I've said this for years. Make it 21. They won't do that.
Armed forces 21.
Mm-hmm.
So universal across the board, everything 21.
But they won't ever do that.
Would you be on board with everything being 18 or no? I'm guessing no.
Well, the problem is with alcohol and now with the legalization of marijuana, you don't want it at 18.
I also wonder, and there was a lady who reached out to me, that stalker forwarded me the email a while back about her son and binge drinking. It's a tragic story. I think we might be talking to her down the road. It's this whole 18 versus 21. If we made alcohol legal at 18, and I know we're going down totally different avenues here, but it's kind of fun. Do we think that binge drinking on college campuses would decrease if we legalized alcohol at the age of 18 for freshmen?
No. I think they do it right in Europe. And you won't hear me say that too often because I, generally despise Europe. But I think the way they introduce alcohol to their kids.
Like a glass of wine?
Exactly. You don't make it like this big, okay, you're 21, go drink. Now I'm drinking my face off at 18 mm-hmm. because I've never had a sip of alcohol
right.
before then. I think that we make it such a taboo here that kids, as soon as they, get a taste of freedom,
they blow their load.
They're down in bottles of Absolute, and dying of that. Like I know people. I went to school with people who that happened to. So I think that if we had a healthier approach to alcohol, where we didn't make it such a taboo, like you cannot touch that until you're mm-hmm. introduce it. I'm not saying five, I'm not saying right. six, but I'm saying like at a younger age.
Yeah, a glass of wine with a Sunday family dinner.
100%.
Yeah.
That it's not such a, it wouldn't be such a taboo when they when they turn 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever.
Dawn, did you see this in Italy when you were on your tour where like a 14-year-old was having a glass of Cabernet with his ziti?
Well, absolutely. It also happens here in America that families, if they're with the family, depending on your culture, that if they have a champagne toast or they have a little wine, especially once somebody's 16, because in Europe, at age 16, you're considered a man or, woman at age 16.
Yeah.
In Europe. And here we treat our 40-year-olds like...
with mental health crises is like their kids. Yeah. All right. My mom gave me a Zima when I was 18. She told me to drink up, bucko. And here I am 22 years later. 23, actually. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Mike is in Glen Olden. He's got some thoughts on the SNAP program. Mike, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Great show as usual. You make my Blue Ridge Drive bearable every day.
Thank you so much.
In Pennsylvania... you cannot use a SNAP. SNAP used to be called food stamps years and years ago.
Right.
SNAP cannot be used for anything taxable, which would be sodas, anything prepared, fast food, rotisserie chickens, and anything. You can't use it for taxable. If a store does get caught doing that, they will lose their SNAP privileges.
Okay. So you're saying, if I'm reading this on my screener correct, and this could be wrong, that SNAP programs, you can only buy... groceries. So which groceries at the grocery store are not taxed? Do we know what specific items that you'd be relegated to your point?
Meats, canned goods, produce.
Okay.
You can get potato chips, but you can't get sodas. Obviously, you can't get cigarettes or beer or wine. Anything that has a sales tax,
got it.
You cannot buy with SNAP.
Interesting. Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you, Mike.
Gotcha. Take care.
There he is, Mike and Glen Olden on the Blue Route. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Harry Mays will join us via YouTube, and we will welcome him in for another edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Stalker's got, I believe, 39 clips left in the tank, and we'll get through 16 of them on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking today specifically about Mercedes-Benz. That's right, the best of the best, Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, where they combine luxury with performance across the full line of their sedans, their SUVs, their coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you will find a luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Schedule a test drive today behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz or shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester. We were just out there 2 months ago. Beautiful facilities, Wilmington, or if you're down at the shore or you're gambling, they're in Atlantic City as well. How about that? Piazza, premiumautos.com. Tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Good morning. It's great to be on a station where free speech lives.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You know, the promo down.
And I realized this weekend, or I was reminded this weekend, why I left the Democratic Party years ago.
Good to know.
I am far too masculine.
That's true.
For that party. Okay. True. Yeah. And Dawn, I want to ask you, how does it feel to be surrounded by such toxic masculinity on this radio show?
Some would argue Dawn's more masculine than Greg and I.
Wow. That is not right.
She's better with a tool belt. She's right, better baby. At assembling things, doing lawn care. She's got us trumped, no pun intended, in every category.
Wow.
You probably could beat us in golf. There you go. All right, Greg Stocker, let's find out 750. What's on the cut sheet?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
What's on
masculinity.
The cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professionals, utilizing award-winning AI to connect business with highly trained and skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. roberthalf.com/talent. I wanted to. So we played. Dawn has been reporting this morning about the Delta crash this morning, or that happened yesterday in Toronto. So we played the video of it on its back. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it flipped over.
Rolled over.
So just released, they actually have the crash. They have it coming in, and you can see it. It's not... I had initially thought, because there were reports, and maybe, Dawn, you can correct this, there are reports of like 70 mile an hour winds. So I thought maybe it was coming in and like it kind of tilted. But no, this thing landed, fire shot up, and then it, you have to see the video.
Wow.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT if you want to see the video. Roll it, Phil.
I hear it's coming in.
See?
About 30 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet, and
down.
Down.
Fire.
Does it go to its side?
And then it
goes. Side rolls.
Yes.
Okay.
That is crazy.
Because I was wondering maybe if it went down nose first a little bit and then did like a complete topple over, but that looks like it kind of rolled out to its right side.
Yeah, that was just, in my opinion, that was just bad landing, right? I mean,
I'm assuming they would have the runways cleared as from the ice and the snow,
no,
right?
No, look at the runways.
Look at the runways, yeah.
So are they covered?
Snow and ice covered.
How do you not clear... No, I don't know. Well, is that plowed?
With high winds, with snow blows.
Yeah. That's true, the drift.
Yeah.
Phil, can you play that one more time, my friend?
Wow, there it goes again. Yep. Look at that. Yep. It almost looks like, at the end, like a torpedo just... Jesus.
I don't know, Harry, Nick, are you guys thinking twice about flying these days?
You know, well, I always think twice about flying.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't like to fly. I've never really liked it. It's just something that, you know, you have to do every once in a while. But yeah, this has not been a good month, or you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever it's been for the airline business, in my view. And I'll tell you that. I mean, yeah, I don't get queasy anymore. I mean, when I first started to fly way back in the early 90s, I got a little nauseous when I go up. That doesn't happen anymore. Maybe that's because I imbibe before I get on an airplane.
Yeah, that's right. And $22 for a Bloody Mary in the airport.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I got a 6:30 flight. I'm at the bar at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
but no, that's why.
Yeah, but this is, see, I'm one of these guys. I'm scared to death of heights. I don't go on roller coasters.
Me too.
I don't even, I get queasy driving up a mountain. Like when I'm driving from Tennessee to Pennsylvania.
What was the comment you guys asked Dawn about being surrounded by men? Yeah, I don't like to fly. Yeah. I can't go on a roller coaster.
What a bunch of wussies.
But flying doesn't bother
it's
me.
It's the safest way to travel.
Right.
The Schuylkill is way more dangerous.
Correct.
You guys.
Absolutely.
I've told my daughters that. I said there's a better chance, girls, that daddy's going to die driving home from work than on an airplane.
Aww.
I just don't like the people. I don't like the congestion, and I'm not a germaphobe by any stretch, but I'm always on flights with smelly, obnoxious people that smell like a blooming onion.
Democrats.
TikTok video
you
people.
Fly with a lot of Democrats.
I guess. I mean, yeah. I fly Frontier, so you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. But, now, how do the girls react to that when you tell them that you have a higher chance of dying on the way home from work?
The more important question is, how does the wife react when I tell the girl?
Well, I was getting to that.
She says, honey, don't worry. We have good health insurance. Good life insurance.
Life insurance is great on Nick.
Yeah, as she reaches for a steak knife or the remote control.
Right, right.
Yeah. By the way, JK13 said it looks like he landed too hard and the landing gear failed. I agree with that. Like, I had initially thought that the wind kind of took it, but this is a bad landing job by him.
They're saying that the runway was dry. They're saying that the runway is not an issue.
Okay. And this is Toronto, correct?
Yeah. Roll it one more time, Phil. I just want to see this. YouTube.com/1210WPH. There you go. See?
Yeah, see, this wouldn't be a Mayor Pete or Sean Patrick Duffy. This is a Trudeau issue.
Yeah.
This is in Canada.
Yeah. So they're, wow. Now.
It's the 51st state.
Right.
Yeah.
The governor of Canada.
The hockey team got beat the other night.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They said
that
when they landed, they were hanging upside down like bats.
Well, we have.
You think about that. You're suspended. You're upside down.
Phil, do you have the video we played earlier of the people inside? Yeah, roll that. See, like they're literally upside down.
Yeah.
And they're, yeah.
And then the crew did a great job. Kudos to the crew.
Yeah.
So 80-some people, the four crew members. We do have three people reported in critical condition, including a baby or a young toddler.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It looked like the landing gear was down, though.
It did. But I think, to JK13's point here on YouTube, I think that they just came in too hard. Like, they landed too hard.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, do you take your online bag? Look at some of them have their carry-on baggage when they're getting out, and they're saying, this thing is going to burst into flames, which it did.
Right.
So they're saying, get out, and they're like, I got to get my bag. Look at the people getting out.
I'd be yelling at my wife and kids, we can get new bags. I can't get another you. Let's go.
Well, NBC News blamed Trump for this.
Of course.
Cut 12. Of course. Cut 12, Phil. Roll it.
In terms of the recent string of aviation incidents, Tom, this is going to yet again raise the concern about FAA staffing, air traffic control staffing. Now, this is a Canadian air traffic control tower, and this is under Canadian authority once it crosses the border. And yet, as you know, there has been this talk about maybe staff cuts at the FAA as a part of President Trump's effort to trim down the federal workforce. And yet, as you also know, the FAA has been complaining for years that they are understaffed in critical job positions, especially air traffic control. I was having a conversation with somebody today about whether air traffic control in America is being affected by the staff cuts. So far, not to their knowledge, and yet other positions related to maintaining critical equipment appear to have been cut. So this is going to feed into all of these recent incidents, and the safety of the total air traffic system is going to be very much a part of the conversation as we go forward, at least on this side of the country, of the border, I should say.
So when it's somebody that we don't like, we blame Trump for the incident. And then our side will say, well, I wonder if the pilot was a DEI hire.
Right,
Not everything's a DEI hire. Not everything is certainly Trump's fault, especially when we're talking about air traffic control in another country and things like that. But I will say this. I feel like this is a lot like the school shootings, where when we see two or three of them pop up in our news cycle, in our feeds, in a very short period of time, we rush to judgment to say they're happening at a higher frequency than they normally do. We debunked the school shooting stuff on this show multiple years now running on this program. I would like to know, and I don't know the answer, I'm genuinely asking out of curiosity, with all of the airline issues we've seen, I don't know, the last 12 months calendar-wise, I'd like to compare that to the previous 12 months and then the other previous 12 months and see if there's like a statistical outlier here, or we're just more top of mind with the awareness of these stories these days. That's what I would like to know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's top of mind, and the fact that, you know, I mean, how many have occurred over the last, what, 5-6 weeks?
Yeah. And we're seeing them around the globe. This is not just America. This is not just North America. You know, we're seeing it in Europe and in other continents as well.
Well, right. I mean, there have been a lot lately. So would you say that it was just, like, it's just, you know, we've gone so long without an incident that it's kind of time? Like, I hate to say that because it sounds cruel, but, or is there something else? I mean, none of these are related. Like, you right. can't say right. that it's because of one thing that all of these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But right. it is kind of odd that we've had all of these
it is.
Plane incidents in yeah. like the last 2 months.
And we're seeing them at night, like in Washington and mm-hmm. Virginia.
Yep.
We're seeing them in the day. We're seeing them in America. We're seeing them in Canada. We're seeing crashes.
One in Northeast Philly
yep.
at night.
Yeah, yep. right into public areas like in Philly. We're seeing you where planes are going down into water. We're seeing planes do rollovers on runways that are perhaps plowed, perhaps not. I can't tell from that footage. I mean, Dawn, is it confirmed that it was cleared? That it
That's what she said.
That's what there are reports.
But with 70-mile-an-hour winds, it could easily blow back on.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's perfectly clear, but okay. I mean, they're still investigating.
I think that's clear for Canada. They can handle that.
Well, yeah, and that's right? what I was going to say.
It's curious.
Right, yeah. Isn't Canada used to this?
Yeah, and then I mean, this happens for 5 months a year up
yeah.
there.
I wanted to get your opinions on this. You know, Harry said when he came on that it's nice to be on a free speech station. I want to ask your opinions here on this free speech. Bill Burr on his podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast, went on a rant about inequality, which he does. And he said that, quote, billionaires need to be put down like rabid dogs. Let me play this audio. And I want to get all of your opinions on this statement. This is cut 27, Phil. Go.
The people that are struggling out there because of these f***ing billionaires, and they got us all arguing liberal and conservative. We got to stop doing that. Like, I am so tired of hearing about people going to bed worried about what's going to happen next week. There is so much f***ing money in this country, and there's so much work being done, you know, and if you work a full fucking week at a job, you should be able to pay your fucking rent. You shouldn't have to go out and get a fucking job and still be struggling. It's bad for the country, because then the kids don't see their parents, and they're not getting the upbringing that they need. It's so fucking, these fucking billionaires, They need to be put down, you know, like fucking rabid dogs. Jeez. They're like rabid with fucking greed and just going out and just dividing everybody.
You know, it's fascinating. I had this conversation with my wife's uncle, and he was ranting and raving about the billionaires and the 1% against the rest of us. And he was talking a little bit about Musk, but he didn't really make it so much about Musk. But he was talking about the billionaires that are bending the knee to Donald Trump. And I said, well, let's just get something straight. Democrats and Kamala Harris had a 2-to-1 advantage of billionaires this past election versus Trump. Never forget that Kamala raised twice the funding. So to me, in the name of consistency, two things. Number one, I don't have any ill will towards a billionaire. If you've worked your ass off, you're talented, you cashed in a capitalistic society, God bless you and knock yourself out. But we can't pick and choose selectively a la carte when billionaires are great and when billionaires are the devil and, as Bill Barr says, need to be taken out.
Bill
to
Burr.
Bill Burr, I'm sorry.
Bill Burr.
Obviously, I'm thinking about Barr.
Big difference.
We'll get to him coming up later. Oh, no, that's Bill Maher. I got Bruno on the brain now. I'm getting all discombobulated.
But you see what happens?
Like, yeah. I can't sit here and, you know, say I rock with Elon Musk and then dunk on Klaus Schwab, George Soros, and any other billionaire out there because they're, quote, not on my team. So you can't have it both ways. But I know I'm rambling. I'll just wrap. Bill Burr. Here's an idea, because I'm assuming Bill Burr's got a lot of money. Why don't you help somebody else pay their rent then, tough guy?
It's funny. Right. It's funny you say that, Nick, because he said billionaires, not millionaires, because millionaires would be him. Like,
that would include him.
Yeah, not just a millionaire by like, hey, he might be worth a million or two. No. He's multi-millionaire.
Yeah. Which, by the way, am I not worth $1 million yet? How is that possible? I looked at my net worth yesterday.
It's not
like $87.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
That sounds like a talking point from Bernie Sanders. Billionaires have to pay their fair share.
I've got to write
it's
a book.
Same stuff, yeah. You know. But he's advocating violence towards billionaires. Is that how I take that?
Well, I mean,
$20 million.
I guess you could say that. But again, he's
put
ranting.
Down like a rabid dog.
Yeah, he's ranting on a podcast. I mean, like, are we really going to say, like, are we going to be offended by this? I mean, should he have said it? Probably not.
No, I'm not offended. But they take everything, you know, that other people say word for word and say, like, that, you know, that's absolutely what they're intending. So, I mean, you know, that sounded like take the dog behind the barn and shoot him.
Yeah. Well, he was on record. He was on record on, I don't know if it was Jimmy Kimmel or something, saying some positive words about who's that guy, Mangione, the guy?
Yeah, Luigi.
So, I mean, he obviously has some. You know, look, he's a comedian. He's, you know, he's allowed to say whatever he wants to. And I'm under the belief that if somebody listens to that and is like, must kill billionaires now because Bill Burr, like, that's on them. That's not on the person who said it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just curious because, you know, somebody made the comment about Bill Burr about how his wife is the one who flipped off Trump at the UFC.
Yes.
The event.
Yes.
And he's all, like, he was all in on, like, the non-PC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife kind of turned him into more of a...
Turned him. Yeah.
More of a
he was funny. He used to be funny.
Yeah. She snatched his testicles and now uses them for dice.
Right. He was too masculine. That's the problem.
And again, with the whole billionaire, millionaire thing, remember when Burr was sitting there, he was basically ringside. Those seats were probably thousands of dollars, and he's hobnobbing with all the people that he's basically saying need to be taken out behind the woodshed.
Yeah.
It's a hypocrite.
But he is right about greed, though. There's way too much greed.
Agreed.
I agree with that.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Bill billionaire.
Let's go to another comedian, Cat Williams. He has a Netflix special out. If you haven't seen it yet, you have to. It's called Woke Folk. It is good. The reason he's in the news is because he bought Fort McLennan in Alabama. So it was this. There were these barracks used for training, like a. It was a training post during World War II, and it's been kind of vacant since 1999, and he bought it. So
he wants to make it a production
studio. What's he going
to
do with it?
He's going to make it a studio. Yeah, it's in Alabama. Oh, okay. He wants to make it a production studio. So I just thought that was interesting. But he does go on a – I have a little bit of his – this had to be edited a lot.
Yeah.
This is Cat Williams on his new Netflix special called Woke Folk. Roll it.
Trump do not sleep. He don't play by no rules. Just to say, will your president be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning to answer the phone if it rings? Yeah, our president is up. Our president is a vampire. That sent 23 tweets at 12:30. What the is you talking about? That on it. Trump don't give a that own it, whatever the it is. Every time he wake up, he just sign another up piece of paper. Wait till they see this when they wake the up. They want to talk. We used to just being able to watch the news a little bit and then walk off. Not with Trump. Watching the news like it's the playoffs. Trump don't give a
he's sweating.
Trump don't follow nobody's rules. The president is supposed to be at the White House. Our president is wherever the he want to be. Now we finna see what America is like with a bully in that. Trump don't give up.
There you go.
It's very true. Well,
congrats on the editing.
Thank
too,
you.
By
that
the
was
way.
That was either Jim Kelly or Phil Almquist. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's a tremendous job.
Yes. That would have that we would have ran out of dumps.
Yes.
We didn't edit that.
I love Cat Williams.
So do I.
So he's building this studio now in Alabama. He's anti-Hollywood,
he
right?
He is. So he's building like a production studio out of the old Fort McLennan there in Alabama. I'm sure that I'm sure the taxes there are next to nothing. Yeah. So I'm sure it's, right. It's like there's all kinds of, you know, perk benefits for him doing that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get a nice house in Alabama these days.
Yeah.
Chief Martin on the chat points out why Nick is poor. Uh-oh. Nick is poor because of his sports bets.
That's true.
You're exactly right.
That's true.
And the liquor store. Well, I love Cat Williams because I actually think there's a segment of society out there that agrees with everything he just said. That's probably a first-time Trump voter in 2024, where they're like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm tired of hearing about how he's the devil and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, he tweets a lot. Yeah, he posts a lot. He doesn't sleep. He's here. He's there. But it's such a stark contrast from our former president that had a four-hour work window.
Yeah.
That when the
four-hour work week.
Yeah. That had a 40% vacation rate, and when the sun went down, you knew he was eating his cup of ice cream, and it was bedtime.
Yep.
Right.
Cat Williams, for those of you who, you'll remember this, that he was the one, he went viral in a clip that was about Diddy being a perv.
He has a lot of dirt on
Remember
Hollywood.
That?
Yeah. Yes, he does.
That was in an interview he did, Harry and Nick, with Shannon Sharp, I believe.
Yeah, that's on his... Shannon, it was at Club Shay Shay.
Club Shay Shay.
Yeah, that was big.
Yeah.
The SNL 50th anniversary show was this weekend. Did you guys
saw it?
Yep.
Watched it live.
About 10 minutes.
A little underwhelmed.
10 minutes
is all
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got.
You didn't like the musical acts or any of
You gotta grab me. No, I've seen it before.
Yeah. You gotta grab me. He sounds like he's
You gotta grab me.
Like a radio
Speaking of
consultant.
Grabbing. Kate McKinnon, you forget how, I know she was woke, but she was funny on that show when she does
She's
that great. Alien bit.
She's great.
And how the alien is going after her.
Kate McKinnon looks like an alien.
And
the eyes are just like.
So funny.
And then they brought out Meryl Streep to play her mother.
Yes, play her mother.
Hysterical.
Oh, my God.
I originally thought that was Martha Stewart. I was like, is that Martha Stewart? No, it's Meryl Streep.
Is she on that Homes.com commercial? Is that her? The comedian from Saturday Night Live with the bug eye, the big eyes.
I don't know.
The Homes.com is that. I think that's Morgan Freeman.
No. He's on it. But
okay. Yeah. You asked.
Rob Schneider, notably not on there. Dennis Miller.
He was in attendance.
Yes, he was in attendance.
But he wasn't.
So was Jim Brewer. Like Joe Piscopo was there. There were a lot of the non-woke SNL cast members.
Attended.
Yeah. But Dan Aykroyd was not there. Dennis Miller was not there. I'm sure.
What about Lovitz?
I thought Aykroyd was there. I thought I saw him.
No, Lovitz. Lovitz was there. They did a bit with him at the very beginning.
Where he crossed the way.
Yeah, he was like, sorry, he couldn't get a seat. People are upset with Tom Hanks.
Oh, I saw this.
Because during the, they do a bit on this called Black Jeopardy, which, by the way, I have to say this, Howard Stern has been doing, or did, he's not doing
it since the mid-80s.
He's been doing Black Jeopardy since the mid-80s, and then all of a sudden SNL started doing it.
Well, it's because they're out of ideas.
Yeah. Tom Hanks came on as a MAGA supporter with a Make America Great Again hat. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more visual where he doesn't shake the hand of the host who's black. So roll this.
Oh, thank you. Hey, now speaking of church, can I say something? If more folks went to church, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in now.
You know what? I agree with you, Doug. I'd like to shake your hand, sir. Here we go.
No.
Oh, no. It's just a handshake. Yeah, it's just a handshake. Yeah, all right. You're welcome to Black Jeopardy anytime.
All right. Well, thank you, my brother. Now, maybe I'll start a show for you to come on, and we'll call it What Jeopardy?
No. We don't need it. We don't need it.
Kenan Thompson is just so unfunny. That's what you get when you've been on the show for 22 years now.
You don't think he's funny?
I think he's terrible.
I think he's really funny.
I always see him from Nickelodeon when I was like 12. He looks like he still hasn't grown. He still looks like a 12-year-old.
I mean, I don't know.
Like, I don't find him funny.
The bit wasn't super funny.
No.
Anyway, no. Eddie Murphy played Tracy Morgan, which was kind of
funny.
But like the bit was that so I believe that the whole they did a very good job of not making it political.
Good,
but then they kind of
they do this
cram this in, and I don't think they really needed to.
Was there anything on the other side? Did they do anything to mock Biden or Kamala or anything, or was it just the pot shot at Trump supporters?
Pot shot.
Yeah.
Well, I say keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, keep doing it because this is the way they perceive the other side still, and that's why they lost.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's exactly right.
You know,
right.
So keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole notion that Trump supporters are just what Tom Hanks was trying to portray there is so
racist.
Laughable. Well, and it's not just like guys in a jean jacket with a truck that are from, you know, Mississippi. I mean,
I think that was like a flannel shirt, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Countless guys that I golf with that are Trump supporters, that are corporate executives, business leaders. This notion that just, you know, Trump supporters change their oil for fun, you know, it's just stupid.
Yeah, it just didn't, like, I'm not offended by it. Like, I saw all the Twitter. It's like, I turned it off as soon as, like, who cares? Like, my thing is just, it wasn't funny.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, for it to not be funny, they could have used a current cast member instead of wasting all that money on Tom Hanks to do that.
Agreed.
Hanks not coming there for cheap.
Agreed. And again, for the people who did find it, like, it's comedy. It's comedy. So, like,
it's subjective.
You know, get your panties out of a bunch. It's comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the ones who missed, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Hader.
Bill Hader was not there, yes.
Bill Hader was good.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? You like Bill Hader?
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan of a lot of these guys in the last 15,
I miss Norm MacDonald.
Oh, my God. I'm all about the original cast in the mid-70s, that late 80s group with Eddie, the early 90s with Sandler, Spade, Farley,
Dana and Carvey.
Phil Hartman. Like
that's when it died to me.
See, I think it died when, as soon as Farrell, and I never found Fallon to be that funny, but once Will Ferrell and Jimmy Fallon left 03, 04, 05, right in that range, that's to me was the last set of great people. Now, you could argue Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I respect the fact that a lot of people like them. I don't find them super funny. I actually think Molly Shannon is funnier than Tina Fey.
God, I think Molly Shannon's annoying.
Really?
She's horrendous.
Tina Fey is funny.
Tina Fey is great. And
Amy Poehler.
Word is that Tina Fey is going to take over for Lorne Michaels whenever he decides give up his power at
Delaware County.
Yeah.
She's local.
Are you surprised that SNL has continued, considering a lot of people don't find it funny anymore?
I mean,
It's because Lorne Michaels says it should continue. Yeah.
So it's not about the ratings then. They obviously make enough money off the program to keep it around.
I don't know what the ratings are, but if Lorne Michaels says it's so, it's so.
It can't.
At NBC. That's the way it goes.
But, I mean, and I get it that SNL historically has catered to older people. But, I mean, do you think there's a lot of people waiting up, especially in this day and age, where you can get clips?
No.
Till 11:31 p.m.
Guys, by the way, the show is meant for people in their 20s. Like, it's not meant for us anymore.
Right.
Also, see, I disagree.
You know what I mean? No, I
what?
What college kid? If you're,
I'm not talking. I didn't say college kids. I said people in their 20s. People who are just
people that still have a life.
Well, that's college kids nowadays, Greg. They're like still 28.
Yeah. Okay, 20
and living at home.
But if you're in your 20s and you're not married and you're not tied down, you don't have kids. Are you watching Saturday Night Live at 11:30 on a Saturday night, or are you hooking up with a chick or getting at a bar and getting wasted, or out to dinner with friends? I don't know that any 20-something is sitting at home and saying, hey, sorry, not going out tonight. SNL comes up in 10 minutes.
I didn't watch it when I was that age.
Well, I didn't either, but I started watching SNL in my 20s, but it was the old episodes when they had like the best of DVDs. Like, that's when I started to watch. I mean, when Phil Hartman was on, I was 9 years old. I didn't have a clue about SNL.
Who was the little freak that was in Night at the Roxbury?
Chris Kattan.
Yeah, he's a...
That guy freaked me out.
He's a bizarre
guy. And I was
out
on SNL when he came on.
By the way, Harry is spot on with this. He is the one of the most unfunny people to ever come out of SNL. Also, if you notice, he was at the show on Sunday, and he has a neck injury. He can't...
Well, that's from eating the apple the way he used to.
He can't move his neck because he used to do pratfalls on SNL. So,
yeah.
All right. So, speaking of Trump voters and Trump supporters, Whoopi has said that we should not talk to Trump voters. He was getting in an argument with Alyssa Farah Griffin. I said he. Sorry.
Uh oh. You misgendered.
I misgendered
somebody.
The big balls. And she says, no, that we should not talk to Trump voters. Roll this.
A lot of things Donald Trump does that I agree with, but then there are things I think are dangerous, reckless, and want to call out. So you have to be able to talk to people who, it doesn't have to be all this or all that, but find movement on the things that matter.
It's hard to talk to people who support people who think you don't matter in the country.
But it's not supporting the person,
but,
though.
No, but it when you support that person, mm-hmm. Wait, but, it brings... Go ahead.
But I don't support that person. My point being that I don't disagree with everything Trump is doing, so we have to be able to have conversations, but we do agree on these things, so how can we all get together on
those
issues?
Well, when we find the stuff that we agree on, that's what we do.
Yeah, right.
But when we find the stuff that is disagreeable...
There you go.
What?
You know,
so that person, so she can't even say.
Right.
Are you telling me she can't even say Trump?
No.
I don't support.
She won't socialize with anybody that, you know, it's wild that, you know, I had this FaceTime conversation with my mother-in-law Friday around dinner. And
we do love her.
Well, depending on the day. And
she's the key to Nick's home.
Sure. So. We were having this conversation, and I said to her, and I said it respectfully, I said, there's no point in continuing this conversation because you're not hearing what I'm saying. You are already focused on what your rebuttal will be to me, and your brain has shut off.
Right.
And that's the God's honest truth. Now, so why have a conversation with somebody that hates Trump when they immediately turn off all common sense in their brain after hearing the five-letter word that is Trump?
So, that's TDS.
Well, and that's what's so infuriating,
you know,
is
you can't talk that way to your mother-in-law.
No.
You should, yes, you can.
I will record one of these. We'll play these back.
Just should. Why?
I have to
it's
say,
it's not worth it.
I agree with Dawn. You should not talk to your mother-in-law that way.
But
what's
wrong
with you?
She
needs to be put down.
I agree. With Bill Burr and Bill
like
Barr.
Like a rabid
Bill
dog.
Maher.
No,
yes,
no, no.
Behind the woodshed.
Harry,
yes.
She's the key to the down payment on the home, okay? Just zip it.
Is that right?
I wish that was true. I wish that was true.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
I won't rule it out, but I wish that was true.
You got to kiss your mother-in-law's.
That's right. Kiss her.
I'm going to be like Mark Zuckerberg to Trump the day he got reelected. Yes, sir.
Wow.
May I have
another?
That's right.
So we're going back and forth on this, and I said about the whole thing with these conversations, and I said, let me ask you something. How can you be against every single thing he says or does? And then it's, well, it's not necessarily I disagree with everything that he says or does, but it's the way he says it. Mm. And you know what's also infuriating as a Trump supporter? When you're talking to somebody who's not a Trump supporter, they just automatically assume that you agree with every single thing he says and every single thing he does.
Which is incorrect.
Yes. Yeah. You could be, like, out of his 20-point agenda, you could be on board with 13 of the 20 and still be a Trump supporter.
I'm 10 for 10.
You're 10 for 10.
I'm a Trumpaholic.
Of course.
I do. I love the guy because I get him. I get when he says something, I get where he's going with it.
But I never, you know what I mean? But I never clap back at a Biden supporter.
Put the pom-poms away, please.
But, like, you know, I give it to these Biden
my pom-poms, mister.
We love pom-poms. Big pom-poms.
Oh, yes.
And
hairy balls.
Exactly. You know, I don't sit there and say, hey, Joe Biden voter, you agree with every single thing Joe says or does. I guarantee you, I know for a fact that you're not on board with everything that Joe or Kamala were peddling. So why do you make the assumption that I just agree with every single thing?
Think about what you guys are talking about. So even with Trump, I'm going to say this. As far as words, I don't care what anybody says. Think about it. You go on a date with somebody, right? You go on a date and they say all the right things, but they do all the wrong things. Trump is the opposite. Look at everything he's done. Look at what he's done in just a few weeks. He's somebody who is a game changer in American politics. And right now, what is he doing? Right now, as we speak, this week, as he tees off a whole new energy plan that's going to be a game changer for all of us to make energy cheaper, which by default makes the economy better. Number one.
I hope so.
Where does that lead us? Where is he going with this? If you look at his, what was that news conference, Friday? I mean, I lose track of his schedule, Friday or Saturday.
Right.
But you think about where he's going with this. What Trump, the pie that they're going after is AI, artificial intelligence. Right now, and this could remind you of, you know, the war that Reagan back in the day with the arms race and Star Wars and all that stuff. I mean, he was just, you know, bragging about what we had as far as, you know, this big plan to psych out Russia at the time. What are we doing now with China? It's kind of reminds me of that with artificial intelligence. That's why we need to free up energy. That's why we need this so badly right now, because China, they're, we're in this race, and they're, I think they're beating us, quite frankly.
Oh, absolutely.
So we've got to get ahead of this, because if we own AI, we own the jobs, we own the future. And that's what Trump is all about. He's somebody who's about action, not words. Boom. What did Biden do?
Well said.
Nobody can argue.
What did Biden do for me? Zippo.
Nobody can argue that these first 4 weeks have not been the most rapid warp speed 4 weeks we've ever seen. I mean, find me another another administration that has matched it, much less supplants it and beats it as far as pure nonstop executive action, executive order, this, that, the other thing, federal legislation. I mean, it is Operation Warp Speed, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, now. And I think that's one of the reasons why the media so hates him, because they actually have to work.
Well, I hate him, too, because I write my big take at 4:30, and by 7:30, I might have to redo it.
It's out of date already.
I wish he would just shut up and go to bed like Joe.
But part of that, I think, is by design, in the sense that they can't keep up.
Yeah.
And so by the time, they're
flood,
reacting.
It's the flood the zone thing. Steve Bannon talked about it, where throw three things out. The media can only run with one, and then, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He said that. Like, that's what they're doing.
Yep.
It's redefining political warfare, if you will. It takes you back to Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, right? The Revolutionary War. That's basically what he's doing. It's all shock and awe.
That was Marion Campbell was the Swamp Fox.
No, love Marion Campbell.
Francis Marion. Look it up, baby.
Yeah, not lower Marion.
J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon offered up a candid, lengthy thought about remote work, bureaucracy, and inefficiency during an internal town hall meeting in Ohio on Wednesday, according to audio recordings of his remarks obtained by Barron's. So he has a, he basically says that anybody who works from home is a lazy MF-er. And
that's what I've been saying.
That it's impossible to work from home and not, you know, get distracted. And we have this, we have the audio that Barron's released. Here we go, roll it.
A lot of you were on the Zoom and you were doing the following, okay? You know, looking at your mail, sending texts to each other about what the other person is, okay? Not paying attention, not reading your stuff, you know? And if you don't think that slows down efficiency, creativity, creates rudeness, and stuff, it does.
Let me stop this for 1 second, because I'm not one to defend remote work. I'm here every day, just like you two are.
Some shows.
Anyway,
look, Rush Limbaugh basically work from home. There are a lot of people who can.
Right.
If you have a
worked from a studio and
at his home.
It was a studio.
He worked from
he wasn't
studio.
In his house.
He wasn't in his house, Don.
I thought
it was close to his house.
Trust me.
He was also really rich and could afford to build the studio.
When you're on a Zoom, okay, and you're, you know, being distracted, I 100% understand that. Is it any different, though, that when you're at a meeting in a conference room, like you're checking your phone and you're, you know, doing other
drifting
things?
Drifting off.
Like, is it really any different if you're on a Zoom than if you're...
No.
When in this short attention span world that we live in, probably doesn't matter if it's virtual or in a conference room. We're all thinking about something else other than what's being said by the person we probably don't want to hear talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all know those people, like in the office environment from jobs of the past, that were always on a walkabout.
Yeah,
you know, they were always walking around, checking in on other people in their cubicles, drinking coffee. It's right out of that Office Space movie.
Yeah, seriously. Right. Yeah,
I mean, are those people any more productive because they're at the workplace than somebody might be cranking out stuff at home?
It depends on the job.
Thank
though,
you. Yes, I agree with that 100%. We're in a creative space here, and I like the creative nature of being with my two colleagues, even if we're not in the same studio. But like, it doesn't, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody needs to be in an office or at a studio.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are some people I do that truly believe and truly execute from home. My wife is putting up big numbers for her company. That's why they allowed her to stay virtual when she came back up here from Tennessee. Greg, your wife works remote as well, right?
100%.
So there are some people that, you know, are go-getters, but I think it's the mindset and the personality. If you're a killer, if you're an alpha, if you're a type A, you'll probably kick ass no matter where you work, in office or home. But then there
I used
are,
to,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I used to try to convince, you know this, Nick, the old program director, that I should be able to do my shows from home. And I got a studio, and he just wouldn't allow it. But I kept on trying, you know, trying to get, because I said, I'm better at home than I am in the office. You don't want me in that office environment. Trust me. I'm
going to
say
Doge.
Something that's going to offend somebody, you know, and it's not a good scene.
Oh, you mean like when you're getting the coffee?
Yeah.
You'll say
yes,
something.
Yes.
Like, okay,
yeah,
that's
yes.
Funny.
Nice. So when Harry says he's happy to be on a free speech station, trust me, I know exactly what he's referring to.
But I think part of it is, too, technical. So, like, if you're here, we have, you know, Scalish. If something goes wrong, God forbid, we have Austin or Scalish. We have a lot of engineers.
Yep.
I'm always worried working from home. And this could go for anybody working from home. What if there's a technical issue and you can't be on your Zoom? You can't be on the computer. You can't problem solve. I don't know. How long would it take you then to drive in? So that's... It's also a technical issue.
If your job has always been virtual, then okay. But for the jobs that were in office that went virtual for the pandemic, where the company has not downsized leasing space and is still shelling out ridiculous amounts of money to rent all types of square footage, then you should have to come back into work when your boss says return to work mandates are effective next Friday. Right. And here's the option. You don't like it? There's the door. Nobody's forcing you to stay employed. You could quit at any point.
Also, I feel like there's a socialization aspect of the workforce. And, you know, I know it's funny coming from me because I hate people.
You do.
But, but, you know, some of my best friends to this day I met at this radio station, you know, when we were all together and we were coming in every day. So, like... I do believe that there is some sort of, and you know, when we were in our 20s, we used to go out to happy hours and do all that stuff. Like, you know, there's a bonding to that that you don't get when you're all, you know, one person's in Cleveland, the other person's in Maine, you're in Philly, and you're all connecting on Zoom. There's just not that camaraderie that you get while being in person.
And now you're in your 40s.
That's true.
Yeah. Now you're in your 40s, and you're in Bucks County, and your boy's in Montgomery County, and you refuse to ever go out for a beer with him.
It's true. It's just I was out with a beer with you and Harry in December, right?
That was like 2 months ago.
And that was a work function for a good cause.
Right. Dawn was there. Jimmy Kelly was there.
We have pictures.
Dawn was there, and she blew me off.
Oh.
Wow. I didn't blow you off.
Wow. We see what's...
I mean, I go both ways.
She's
I did not blow you
off. She doesn't like you, Harry. So
yeah,
let's
she doesn't.
Let's just put that out.
What's the deal with this guy coming on to talk about football?
Yeah. She's like, wait a minute, wait
what?
A minute. He's like, coming. He's coming on this show now. Really?
He's never said that, Harry.
I'm just kidding.
I have a pom pom just for you, Harry.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Yeah. let me play a little bit more of the Jamie Dimon here.
And when I found out that people are doing that, you don't do that. My meetings. You go to meet with me. You got my attention. You got my focus. I don't bring my phone. I'm not sending texts to people. Okay? It simply doesn't work. And it doesn't work for creativity. It slows down decision making. And don't give me the work from home Friday works. I call a lot of people Friday. They're not a person you get a hold of. But here are the problems, okay? And they are substantial, okay? Which is the young generation is being damaged by this.
Agreed.
That means they may or may not be in your particular staff, but they are being left behind. They're being left behind socially, ideas, meeting people. In fact, my guess is most of you live in communities a hell of a lot less diverse than this room. Every area should be looking to be 10% more efficient. If I was running a department with 100 people, I guarantee you if I wanted to, I could run it with 90 and be more efficient. I guarantee you. I could do it in my sleep. And the notion, these bureaucracies, I need more people, I can't get it done. No, because you're filling out requests that don't need to be done. Your people are going to meetings they don't need to go to. Someone told me to approve some of his wealth management that they had to go to 14 committees. I am dying to get the name of the 14 committees. And I feel like firing 14 chairmen of committees. I can't stand it anymore. Now, you have a choice. You don't have to work at J.P. Morgan. So the people of you who don't want to work at the company, that's fine with me. I'm not mad at you. Don't be mad at me. It's a free country. You can walk with your feet. You know, but this company is going to set our own standards and do it our own way. And I've had it with this kind of stuff. And, you know, I come in, you know, I've been working 7 days since COVID. And I come in and where's everybody else? But they're here and there and the Zooms don't show up. And people say they didn't get stuff. So that's not how you run a great company. We didn't build this great company by doing that, by doing the same semi-disease everybody else does.
God almighty, I never knew how much I love Jamie Dimon. Holy hell.
I mean, there's a reason he's in the position he's in, right?
Yeah. You know, there's two things that he said that I like. Number one, put the GD phones down, right? Seriously, you don't need to bring your cell phone to the conference room for the group meeting each week. I want your undivided attention and focus, okay? Unless your mom's on a ventilator and she could go at any moment, leave the phone at the desk. Yeah. There's nothing you can accomplish while I'm talking anyway. And then the other thing with the Zoom, and I noticed this because we have these big company Zooms in throughout my career. I had them with every radio company I ever worked with. And then people like, you know, they blur their screen. Or they go dark, or they mute their microphone. If I was hosting a Zoom as like a Jamie Dimon executive, I want your microphones unmuted. I want to be able to see you. I want to be able to see your dishes in your sink behind you. Don't put up any, like Harry right now. He's got this little foggy background.
Well, why is that so important? What does the room I'm in have to do with anything?
What are you trying to hide? That's what I want to know.
What are you doing?
Never you mind.
Not you specifically, but if I'm Harry Dimon and I'm going off on all of these people.
Harry Dimon.
Jamie Dimon. Harry Dimon's Rory's.
Harry Dimon's Rory McIlroy's caddy.
That's right. I got like Bruno just a mess. Anyway,
awesome. Oh, that is
he couldn't hit a bull's ass with a bass fiddle.
Oh my god, you're killing me today. It's so funny.
But like, you know, this is a workplace setting. Like, enough of what's convenient for you and what makes everything more. It's all about this like uncomfortable social setting. Like, how many times do you see people walking around the halls with their phone, and the moment they come across you as you're getting ready to have to make eye contact, they miraculously look down like they got a text and they're scrolling.
That was the old boss.
Yeah, it just stop being
the old boss
this,
used to do that.
All these socially awkward people. If you don't like it, just go be a librarian.
So he fired this guy. Did you say that? He fired Nicholas Welch.
Yep, he did.
A tech ops who'd been with the financial giant 8 years. Mm-hmm. And Nicholas, his name's Nick. Nick Welch, he's going through a divorce, needs flexibility. He's like not having a good day. But he was the unfortunate one who spoke out against the mandate by Jamie Dimon for everybody to go back to work five full days. Mm-hmm. And he got fired.
It was so dumb of him to release this. Like, of course, like tech IT people are going to be like, yeah, it was this guy who really, like, we could tell it was this guy.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
Jamie Dimon.
He sounds like a fan of Doge, though, this Dimon fella.
Yeah, and he only wants trim 10%. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say, J.P. Morgan's, I have a friend who worked for them. They were at least very I know they're all firing the DEI, you know, that's out of vogue now. But they were, it was unbearable for the people who were in person and performing in that company.
Yep.
They were so with the DEI stuff and the woke stuff, and they had to go through all this training and had to hire certain people who were, and it was horrible. I mean, the person I know, high level person, left the company because they just could not stand it. Yeah.
I mean, all of this is just
a woman, by the way.
Yeah.
Conservative woman.
Uh-oh.
With bigger kahunis than, you know, any of you guys.
Hairy balls.
Wow.
Look at that.
No, but I mean, a hardworking woman who is conservative and was sick of all of her subordinates going to her saying they couldn't take the DEI.
Right.
She finally was like, I mean, I'm done.
The adults are back in charge.
Yeah.
You saw what Elon Musk did when he purchased Twitter. No more Panera catered lunches and all of this nonsense. You're here to work. And
by the way, Harry, don't give in to Kale's bullying.
I just unblurred my background just so he could see.
He unblurred his background because Kale bullied him into
it. I know.
Stand your ground, Harry Mays.
It is Kale and Company, after all, the name of the show.
I Richie incognito'd him. Oh, look at that. He's got a beautiful big screen. He's got his golf clubs, his treadmill.
That's a gorgeous
I got two big screens back there.
See, you should be proud of that room. I would never blur that.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD.
Look at all that good stuff.
Can we play another protest song? This is cut 40 here.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Portland. I know, shocking that there's going to be some protests happening in Portland, Oregon. This is a new song that this person wrote about Trump and Elon.
They keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning running back.
There we go.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump Keep is on not a king. Trump is not a king. Trump is not a king. Never turning back. Never turning back.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go.
This just into the Fox News decision desk. The 2028 election has been called.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob Dylan just became a Republican.
So there you go. A bunch of soft, pasty white males and some ugly females with gray hair and bad eyeglasses. I mean, look, that's what you get every single time. Bad singing. It's just, and that's fine. Keep doing it.
Is it the same 30 people that they just keep flying around the country to different locations?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Let's do one more, and then we should break and come back because I have 900 more cuts to do this. Speaking of singer, Sheryl Crow announced that she sold her Tesla and donated the money to NPR. Can I just say that? All right, let's play the video.
Every day is a winding road.
See, the Tesla's on the back of a truck.
She's
waving goodbye to it. She sold it. And so, I mean.
Yeah, what a dope. Don't you understand that you bought it? You already helped Tesla.
Yeah.
You bought it.
Well, you know, she loved Elon in 2020 when he voted for Joe Biden, which he did.
Right.
When he was Mr. Climate, Mr. Tesla Smart Car. But now that he's got an R in front of his name and he's helping Trump, he's the devil.
Now you got to get a Prius.
Yeah. By the way, she can, I don't know how much she sold that Tesla for, but she's worth a couple of shekels, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe she could just donate her own money, you know, instead of just the money she got from Tesla. I'm sure she has. By the way, to all the rich 1210 supporters out there, can somebody donate some money to our radio station?
Yeah, and while we're at it, you know, since my mother-in-law will not contribute for the down payment this June, if any of our listeners want to help me, you know, we can create a GoFundMe page. My closing costs.
Oh, God.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm happy to take that.
NPR does not need your money. NPR does not need your money.
But I do.
I happened to listen to NPR over the weekend. I was swishing around just listening. Do you know, they're like, oh, we sent one of us, a correspondent. I went to the Panama Canal, and my other correspondent, so-and-so, went to Greenland special assignment. And I thought, how much are we paying for these people to travel, right? Yeah. Who does that anymore?
Right. Yeah, 100% right. Yeah.
And while we're at it, what would it cost to keep you there permanently?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we should break and then come back on the other side and do more cut sheet.
All right, more cut sheet. We'll wrap with Harry. We got a lot of good things to hit on, as well as we also have this Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito story that I want to hit on with what the media did to one man, pretty much ending a career and tarnishing a reputation. We'll get to that as well. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Auto. We are talking about the Honda Prologue. Oh, yeah, it's Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of 300 miles on a single charge. And that fast charge time, you're back up and running within 15 to 20 minutes. You can cruise the roads worry-free, and it has three charging options to choose from, including a portable charging kit for when you're on the go, because all of us live that life on the go. Wife, kids, activities, extracurriculars. You can lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Think about that. A Honda SUV for $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details. Shop online anytime at PiazzaHonda.com.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.